thank you today for being with us, for joining us. And we're going to go into the Word of God very, very, very briefly, or very shortly rather. But let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, today, I pray your blessings upon this broadcast. I pray your blessings, Lord, upon those that are listening out there in Facebook land using their computer. Lord, this is no substitute for church, obviously. But again, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that in this year, 2020, we have this technology. We still can communicate. We still can preach the gospel. We still can go into people's homes. And our Father, we're thankful for that medium today. Now, Lord, more than anything else, I pray, Heavenly Father, I pray that this message today will be a blessing. I pray, Lord, that today that hearts will be touched by the Word of God. I pray today that if there's anyone listening that has never placed their trust in Christ for salvation, may they do so today. But Lord, encourage us this morning as we think along the line of that wonderful thought, God, you do give songs in the night. So Father, bless us now today. Bless this hour. Bless the message. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get started. If you want to turn your Bibles today to the book of Job chapter 35 and verse number 10, I would invite you to turn there at this time. I want to preach this morning on the subject songs in the night. I'm taking my thought obviously from that verse there in Psalm 35. And I just let me go ahead and read the entire verse. The Bible says, but none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? That's in Psalm 35 and verse number 10. Now, all of you today know, you folks that are students of the Bible, that understand the background of the book of Job, you'll know that the book of Job is referenced quite often by those who suffer during the journey of life. Suffering is part and parcel of life, for we all wear dying bodies as a result of Adam's fall. Suffering is experienced through in different ways, physical, emotional, and through mental avenues. Suffering for many people is unbearable and consequently catastrophic. Suicide is a major cause of death each year, and that's so tragic. Many find themselves hedged in and helpless without a ray of hope. The truth of the grace of God and the care of God is counted as unacceptable and trivial to many sufferers. Yet we know that spiritual resources are the greatest asset for any and all of us. You, the viewer, are proof of this truth because you respect and you seek spiritual guidance, or you wouldn't be tuned in this morning. You've come to experience and realize that God is a very present help in time of trouble. You have found that he can be sought after for help. One of Job's friends, Elihu was his name, he accused Job of not humbling himself, of not making his case to God. And he accused him of not calling on the Lord for help. Elihu was basically telling Job that the afflicted need to call out to God for help. He says that none are saying, where is God? That's basically the gist, the context. He was saying that none are saying, where is God? And he was inferring that Job himself was guilty of not doing that. You know, many today, including Christians, are thinking that God may be silent, for prayers seem to go unheeded and unanswered. Many cannot understand the reason for suffering. Some may think God has forgotten all about them. And this question comes up. Where is God when I suffer? Where is God when I hurt? Where is God when I'm in pain? Where is God when people turn against me? Where is God when things go wrong? I have an answer for you this morning. He's in the same place he was when his son suffered and died. But you see, the nighttime sorrow of Calvary turned into the morning time joy of an empty tomb. Job's anguish during his night season would also turn into the joy of morning time. His nighttime anxiety would give way to a morning time answer. During the night, Job would ask, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in?" Chapter 3, verse 23. In the morning, Job would answer, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Job 19, verse 25. Job is still in the night of suffering when he made that statement, but it was a dawn-breaking moment as he understood that his Redeemer was alive. It was a song in his night. You know, that's our song in the night. I know that my Redeemer liveth. That's our song in the night. Thank God for that song in the night. I know that my Redeemer liveth. The Christian knows that he is alive because of the statement of Scripture, which even tells us that he also is our life. Actually, God gives a lot of things in the night. Did you know that? God gives a lot of things in the night. He gives songs in the night. But you know, God gives joy in the night. He gives peace in the night. And he even gives the ability to laugh in the night. And I'll tell you, I thank God today for the ability given by the Lord to be able to even have a sense of humor and to laugh. You know, I was born into a family of laughers. I'm married into a family of laughers. And I don't have a chance except all I can do is you see, I have to laugh. I mean, I see humor in life, don't you? I mean, only the people of God can actually have a sense of humor and can enjoy life. But some people, you know, they stay so serious, so stone-faced, they think it's sinful to even have any sense of humor, to say anything. And I feel like just going around all the time, and whenever I'll say something and somebody look at me rather strange, like, "You got to be kidding me. I'm going to start carrying this little sign around. This is a joke." Some people don't get it. You see, that's why our president right now is under the gun constantly, because of his sarcastic sense of humor, and people don't understand that. But humor itself is a great relief valve. It's good to be able to laugh. It's good to be able to laugh, to have a sense of humor, even at a time like this. It's kind of like, it's like putting oil on the machinery of life. Laughter, it helps. You know, coming back to my point, God gives songs in the night. Do you know the unsaved are in the night without a song? But we are in the night with a song. And thank God for that. Aren't you glad of that? Nighttime singing is, let me illustrate it this way. Nighttime singing is somewhat like a nighttime rehearsal for a morning time cantata. You know, rehearsals are demanding. All of you that are in your church choir, all of you that have been in musical groups, you know that rehearsing can be very straining. Rehearsal is demanding. Singers have to learn well the music. Excuse me. They have to learn to harmonize. Think of a choir rehearsing. They don't sound too good at times, do they? But that's okay. And let me give you an answer to a reason. They still have a song to rehearse. They still have a song. And also, they're still part of the choir. When the moment arrives for the presentation of the cantata, the choir is ready, and my, what a sound. I think of our own church. I think of our choir. I think of the times that our church have practiced, rehearsed for cantatas. And I'll tell you, if you listen to them early on, when they first start practicing, To be quite honest with you, they sound like the Mayberry Band. But wait until you hear when the cantata is presented. It's a major difference. You know, the Christian finds that the nighttime rehearsal is difficult. I think of a composer working with musicians. He works at getting the different voices synchronized and has to insist that the musicians focus on the arrangement and rely on the music script. Now let me bring this into perspective. Let me bring this into a wonderful application. God's people have a song in the night. It seems like we're rehearsing right now many times, but thank God we have a divine composer, as it were. He patiently works with us, constantly reminds us to stick to the composition, stay with the music script. I think of the parts that make up a choir of musicians, the tenors, the altos, the sopranos, those in the bass section. They all enhance the presentation. Their voices blend to give quality to the music presented. Again, I think of rehearsal when I think of nighttime songs. We that are saved are in the light, but it's still nighttime. We're living in a fallen world, and we still have the fallen nature, but we still have a song. We still have the composition. We still have the script. We have the music print. We have the Word of God. This is what we go by. This is our script. We suffer. We sometimes stray when we get off key and we lose our line. We look around us and get discouraged and are hindered in our song. But the composer, the blessed Holy Spirit, says, stay on script. Keep your eyes on your part. Keep your book open. And oh, that's exactly what we do, isn't it? We stay on script. We keep our eyes on the book. We stay with the standard. We look around, and in this nighttime singing, we get a little bit discouraged. Sometimes we find ourselves off key. Sometimes it's not easy to sing. But oh, my friend, thank God we're still in the choir, though. We still have a song. We still have a script. We still have a standard. Keep the book open. Think of how the divine composer of the Holy Spirit keeps focused on the book. He keeps us depending on the scripture. We look around at what is going on, but he says to us, keep your eyes on the music. We may not sing too well now, but we still have the music, don't we? We still have the script. We still have the Word of God. We're still in the choir. Boy, I love that. We're still in the choir. The big day of the presentation is coming. We'll be presenting the cantata. I think of that and I rejoice. We're still yet to sing with unified voices. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. We're yet to sing in the cantata. We're yet to have blended voices. We're yet to bring all of the tenors, the altos, the sopranos, and all together. And some of us here, we may have a little bit of trouble making music, but I'll tell you then, imagine the blended voices of the glorified in heaven. We're still yet to present the hallelujah chorus of the ages. Our nighttime rehearsal songs will be replaced with a morning time cantata of joy. We're in the choir now. We will be in the choir then. And praise God today, let me say to each of you, if you're in the choir, you'll never be booted out of the choir. You'll never be like a Barney Fife kicked out of the choir because you can't sing. If you're in the choir, you're always going to be in the choir. I've given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I'm going to mess around today and have a Facebook revival. Listen to me. Here's another point. Have you ever thought about it like this? Not only are we in the choir, but we're already wearing a choir robe. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? It's white. It's a covering of his perfect righteousness. I mean, how's that for a choir robe? It might be nighttime now, but we still have a song. It may hurt when we sing, and we may sing with tears in our eyes. We may be off key now. We may lose our voices, but thank God we still have the music. We still have the Word of God. We still have His presence and His peace. I'm here to say that His presence and voice will never be silenced, for He still wears the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My thought today, keep on singing. We look up by faith knowing where He is, and we keep on singing. We keep on singing. My nephew, Scott Gindelsberger, pastoring down in Burlington, called me this past week to tell me about the fact he had written a devotion for his church. And Scott referenced Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 that says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." And Brother Scott told me, and I thought that's a good statement. He said, we need some of that now faith. And think about that. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for. Now faith. You know, that's what we need, Christian. We need now faith. We need faith right now. We need to handle this right now with faith. We need now faith. I've read that verse many times, but that's a good point. Yes, we do. Look up believing now. He's not dethroned by the times. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Asaph said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" You know, I read the book of Revelation, chapter number four, the first thing that John saw was a throne. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. That's Revelation 4. We need to look up and keep singing. We need to look around at what he's done and keep on singing. Look at what he's done. Go back to the text there. Where's God? Where's God? Some are asking that. Where is God? While atheists, agnostics, and infidels are saying he's nowhere, we who enjoy his presence are saying, he's now here. He's now here. Rearrange the letters a little bit there. You see, those who believe he is nowhere have a hopeless end. But we who believe he is now here, we have an endless hope. You know, pardon me, folks out there. I feel like right now, either the need of turning this computer off and shouting, or else just go ahead and shout even if it blows up the speaker. You see, here's the thing that thrills my heart. I don't care what circumstances we find ourselves in, God's people, we have a song in our hearts. We have joy. We can still be happy and smile and even laugh and just have a good time, and it's all because he's now here. I thank God we're not saying he's nowhere. We're saying he's now here. And I want to expand a little bit on that right now. He's now here. I see his work of creation telling me he's now here. I see his master stroke in the morning sky, lit up by the rising of the sun, telling me he's now here. I see that same glorious artist at the of the universe painting the stroke of the golden hue of the evening sun at evening time, and I say he's now here. I see the artist working the petal of a rose and the wildflowers, brightening up the meadows, and I say he's now here. I don't even have to stretch my imagination to factor in the goodness of God and the smell, sweet smell of the honeysuckle, or the blooming of the dogwood as an extra greeting of spring. I had a nice bowl of fresh strawberries this morning for breakfast, thanks to Calvin and Joy Vaughn. And I thought, in eating those strawberries, I thought, only God can make something like this taste this good. Now, Sister Joy texted me and basically apologized, and she said, she didn't like the fact that those strawberries were pretty dark. Well, I texted her back and told her they were probably just picked at nighttime. All right, what do we have here? Okay, pardon me, folks. I have an interrupting wife right here. She texted or put the song up here. You can have a melody down in your heart when it's aching, almost breaking. Even though the sorrow makes a teardrop start, you can have a melody down in your heart. You can have a song. You can have a song in your heart in the night. How's that sound? Yeah, after every trial, after every smile, anyone can sing when the sun is shining bright. But you need a song in your heart at the night. I need to get Carol and Bernie to come up here and sing that instead of paralyzing me trying to do it, right? Well, getting back to the point here. Where is God? I see him here. I see his presence. I see his presence in creation. I see his work. I see the operation of God in the orderly arrangement of nature and instinct of animals. I see the gentleness of God in the smile of a baby and the sincerity of a child. I see the power of God in the flash of the lightning and the thunder roll. I see the peace of God in the face of a dying saint. I see the grace of God in the conversion of sinners. People may be saying, God is nowhere. But I'm saying he's now here. I say to us today, just keep on singing. It may be somewhat like a rehearsal, but my friend, the cantata's coming. It's a song in the night, but thank God we still have a song. We may be in the night, but also walk in the day. And then, thirdly today, we're singing. We need to keep on singing songs in the night. We're singing songs in the night. It may be in the night, but they're still worth singing. It's been said that it's easy to sing when you can read the notes. But I believe that we can read the notes myself. Our problem is that we don't follow the notes. We actually already have some good songs that we know already. We have a song of redemption. We have a song of joy, don't we? We have a song of finish, don't we? Paul and Silas sang a midnight song in Acts 16. You know, Paul said, these things write unto you that your joy might be full. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Then I look at Psalm 126, verse number 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. I love the song Brother Squire Parsons wrote many years ago. I love the lyrics of that song. I've been singing about my Lord for many years. I've sung, I've been happy. Even sung when I've had tears. I've even had folks ask me. It's all been just a show. But the reason that I'm singing is I want the world to know. I sing because there's an empty grave. I sing because there's a power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home, where I shall sing throughout eternity. He keeps writing, I've sung to those walking through the fiery trial. I've watched their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. I've bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. And I'm glad that I can tell you, He's always given victory. I sing because there's an empty grave. I sing because there's a heart to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home, where I shall sing throughout eternity. Yes, thank God for those songs in the night. But could I say today that they're only known by those who walk in the light? They're not sung in a minor key either. It might be nighttime, but our song is still a song. It might be nighttime, but we can still sing victory in Jesus. Our song is a good song. Our song is about an old rugged cross. So despised by the world, but it sure has a wonderful flavor to us, doesn't it? Our song is about a land that's fair for the day. Our song is a gifted song, by the way, for He gives us the song. And could I remind us today that all good and perfect gifts come from above? So think about it like this. Our song is a gifted song. He giveth songs in the night. It's a gifted song. That made a good song. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. That even includes our night songs. He gives His children of light a song in the night. But you can hurry up and believe our song in the night is a song. It has some lyrics. It has redeeming truth. It has shouting truth. I can't wait to close this computer down and just start running around this house shouting and weeping. I'm thrilled today because of the song that God gives in the night. God, let me tell you today, keep on singing. The cantata presentation is sooner than we realize. He's coming. He's coming soon. Are you ready? So I say today, don't worry about not being on key. Don't worry about blending so much now. Thank God they're going to be blended. Until today, for that heavenly teacher, that heavenly composer, the Spirit of God that tells us choir members, stay on the music. Keep your eyes on the Word. The big day of presentation is coming. Thank God today if you're saved, you have that joyous hope. But if not, oh my friend, you need today, by the grace of God, to start walking in the light. You may have a song, you'll have a song in the night, but the key is to walk in the light. And right now, if you're listening to me and you're not saved, would you bow your head right now, realizing that Jesus paid it all? He took your place on Calvary. He died in your stead. He was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities. By His stripes, you call out to Him now right in front of that computer screen and say, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I want joy. I need peace. I need salvation. the blood of Christ on the sinner, come to my heart and save me. Do that. Then, Christians today, step up the temple. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that do songs in the night, and thank you, Lord, today, for the blessed privilege of being in the choir, of going to me, and help us, Lord. We that are saved, to still go through life rejoicing, grateful for the grace of God, and Lord, looking forward to the great time that's come. Bless the broadcast for your glory. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you until our next broadcast on Wednesday at 10 o'clock.